Thank you and good morning. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Dan Reynolds, Chin Tan, Shiming Yang, Tichin Zhang, Tom Mulaki, Gary Parkin, John Lozon, Tom Loyo, and Jingyi Yang. Sort of the take-home message of this talk is that you have to look at the unintentional consequences of some of your best management practices. And I'll illustrate that as I go through the talk. So first of all, if you look at some of the factors which affect nutrient losses from agricultural soils, of course, soil water content plays a huge role, also as not only antecedent water contents, but the inputs through irrigation, precipitation. It's not just the quantity, but also the intensity of the water, the frequency as well. Available nutrient levels, the inputs, whether it be fertilizer, manures, legumes, atmospheric deposition, and also what happens during the growing season, the nutrient uptake. So if you have a given year with a drought, in fact, there may be a lot of residual N left over at the end of the season, which is susceptible to being lost to the environment. Soil type, hydraulic conductivity, how quickly is that water and nutrients going to move through your soil, and which is also affected by the landscape, the topography, the slope, in terms of the amount of water going through the soil at any particular place along the slope. And lastly, in the area that I'm in, which is southwestern Ontario, tile drainage has a huge impact in terms of water movement and loss through the soil, as I'll show you in a few minutes. Sort of as a background, with some of our other sort of more modeling programs, we looked at the residual soil nitrogen in the census year. In Canada, census year every 5 years, 2006 was our last one. And in fact, what we see here is many areas, especially in the dryland prairies, we have very low residual nitrogen content at the end of the growing season. Other areas, especially eastern Canada, along the St. Lawrence lowlands, has very high levels of nitrogen left over at the end of the growing season. A lot of this has to do with the amount of N inputs. We have a lot more rain in eastern Canada, higher yield potential, higher N inputs that go into the system. And as a result, we are left with more N inputs. Colleagues also looked at this data, took this as their input, added the climate conditions for 2006 and previous years to predict how much would be lost, and came up with this next map, which looks at the risk of water contamination by nitrogen. Without going into a lot of details, the risk not only includes the concentration, but the total loadings. And indeed, with the prairie area, because of the low precipitation rates, a much lower risk, and eastern Canada, which I would presume be similar to northeastern U.S., would have the higher risk of nitrate contamination. So looking at some of these beneficial management practices, how, especially in the eastern Canada area, can you reduce these losses? So we've looked at different things, whether it be cover crops, crop rotation, conservation tillage, tile drainage, water table management. And I just want to give you sort of a glimpse of some of the results we have from these studies and how they have partially worked but not completely worked. So starting off with the cover crop one, this graph is fairly complicated, but I just wanted for you to focus on two things here. First of all, the green. Anything with green has had a cover crop. The red is the no cover crop treatment. So let's just sort of concentrate on that. So when you have a cover crop, if you have surface runoff water, and this was over a 6-year period, when there's cover crop present, we had lower amount of surface runoff, which you would expect and hope. Not only is the cover crop intercepting the water moving off the soil, so it's sort of a physical barrier, but it's also with evapotranspiration consuming some of this water. However, with physically stopping the water, we do see when there's cover crop, these green lines here, greater tile drainage volumes, especially with this red circle one, which is actually our water table management system that I'll describe in a few more minutes. So here's the volume, what's happening with water partitioning. We then look at the concentration. So you have some dilution effects and whatnot. So first of all, on the left, you'll see the surface runoff. On the right, the tile drainage concentrations. And I have two dashed lines here. The 10 is the sort of standard drinking water concentration limits, whereas the blue one dashed line lower on in the graph really refers to the new Environment Canada provisional water quality guideline of 4.7 milligrams of N per liter. So we can see with the surface runoff, concentrations generally are quite much lower than the tile drainage. We do have many exceedances through the season, especially if we look at the new guideline values. And then following over with the tile drainage, we see concentrations that approach 35 milligrams N per liter. And this is typically an average of 24 samples by several reps as well. So there's a lot of data that goes into any of these 1 points. And we can also see, if you look at the green, which is the cover crop treatments, except this 1 point here, which is early 99, most of the time, whenever there's cover crop, we actually have lower nitrate concentrations coming out of tile drainage water. Again, the crop is taking up some of this nitrogen. So then you sort of do the calculations to calculate nitrate loss. Clearly, surface runoff nitrate loss over the six-year period was about 20 kilograms N per hectare, compared to a maximum of about 110 with the through tile drainage. So most of our nitrate losses is indeed leaching. But what we can see here is that whenever there's a cover crop, it has reduced the losses. This is just a regular tile drainage system. We're losing 110. We reduce that by about 15 kilograms N per hectare when there's cover crop. The same thing with our water management system. Whereas, again, some of this nitrogen loss, or the extent of that nitrogen loss, could have been greater, perhaps, if we hadn't also increased the water going through the soil profile. So in this particular experiment, what was more significant was our controlled drainage system down here. That had a greater effect than just the cover crop alone. Looking through crop rotation as the next one, we have a long-term study that was established in 1959. And here we look at fertilized continuous corn that's been fertilized every year since 59, compared to no fertilizer at all. This was about 6 weeks after planting this summer, compared to a rotation involving corn, oats, and 2 years of alfalfa that's received fertilizer every year, compared to a rotation with no chemical fertilizer or manure. Here we see vastly different yields over the time frame. This is now over 50 years. So our yields have steadily increased with their fertilizer rotation corn, stayed fairly constant with their fertilized continuous corn. And whenever there was no fertilizer, yields are slowly decreasing with the not fertilized rotation corn. Without any rotation, the alfalfa in particular, without any fertilizer manure, our yields bottomed out after about 8 years and stayed at about a 1 ton per hectare thereafter. So what's happened to tile drainage water? We actually are measuring the nitrate loss in tile drainage water. I'm not showing the concentration and volume, but there's a couple take-home messages here. Of course, when there's no fertilizer added, the losses are fairly low. Over a four-year period, only about 35 kilograms then per hectare. That's with our rotation. So presumably most of that is coming from the alfalfa that's being fixed the nitrogen and being the major input in that system. Very low with the two other treatments, and there's a graph there for comparison. However, when there's fertilizer added, with the continuous corn treatment, the much higher losses, again about 110 kilograms per hectare over about a four-year period. But what's interesting is if you look at the rotation here, you can see that these very high slopes. So during the year, after plowing down the alfalfa and letting the corn grow and fertilizing, we can have a very high loss. But in the intermediate years where the rotation, the alfalfa is just taking up nitrogen and fixing nitrogen, the losses can be low during those particular time periods. Moving on, our conservation tillage systems. We've looked at different ones between everything from conventional tillage, zone till. Here's a chisel plow as an example. So when we, in one particular study where we looked at the tile drainage volume, concentration, and nitrate loss, and this is just a simple comparison between no-till and conventional till, we see that no-till, with all the residue, has indeed increased tile drainage volume because it stopped the surface runoff or reduced it. So where does the water go? It goes through the profile. So it increased the volume, decreased the nitrate concentration, probably because of a dilution effect. And so when you look at overall nitrate loss, except for in the very end, it sort of it catches up, but generally over most of the time frame until this last year of that study, the no-till had higher total nitrate loss because more of the water was pulling more of the nitrogen through the soil, plus our yields were a little bit lower at the no-till, so not using all that nitrogen as well. Going through sort of tile drains, most of our land indeed is tile drained. And so what we see here is side-by-side study. There was a field that was tile drained about 10 years ago, an area beside it that wasn't tile drained. And what we did was we added three different nitrogen rates and took soil cores after 2 weeks, 8 weeks, 31, and 53 weeks. And where there was no tiles, really the movement of the nitrate was it didn't move very deep into the soil profile. Perhaps after 8 weeks we had movement to about 20, 25 centimeters, that was about it. But with the presence of tiles, we could see that even after 8 weeks we had movement down to about 30, 40 centimeters. And after 31 weeks, we have nitrate moving through the whole soil. So our tiling also, yes, it does allow farmers to get on early, it does increase crop yields, but it can also accentuate nitrate leaching losses. Last, water table management systems. We've looked at different ways of regulating the water table with some of these systems, capturing it in a wetland system, pumping it back during dry periods. And without looking too much at all the individual lines here, once again we see lower losses with surface compared to tile. Here's the regular tile drains that most producers are using. Here's the red is the controlled drainage sub-irrigation system, which has really decreased the amount of nitrate being lost. However, the unintentional consequences is that that's also the one, this red one with this water table management system, has the highest surface runoff and the higher nitrate loss through surface. Overall, it's still beneficial, but there are unintended consequences. So in terms of observations, management practices which reduce water and nutrient loss through surface runoff may in fact increase water and nutrient loss through tile drainage. Conversely, management systems that control tile drainage may at that water table system may increase surface runoff. However, these systems can supply water to crops in drought periods, increase nutrient uptake, and minimize this impact. Tile drains, which are common in our in sort of eastern Canada and I imagine northeastern U.S., enable producers to plant early in the spring, harvest late in the season, increase nutrient uptake and yields. However, it can also enhance nutrient leaching losses. So nutrient losses are a natural part of all ecosystems, and really environmental problems do occur when excess nutrients are present or when crop growth is restricted. So certainly management practices that could be used, such as the ability to predict the availability of nutrients, things to overcome crop yield limitations, reduced transport, and recycling the water all help. And to minimize nutrient losses, optimize nutrient uptake, and maintain soil water and air quality. I thank you. I'd like to acknowledge all the funding that we've received over the years, the expert technical assistance, and thank you for your time and attention here.